First, as I've been telling everybody, how fantastic to look out and see faces when you, for Mass. I have truly missed you, missed seeing you. And if you're still home, I think they're actually streaming this Mass too. We miss you too, and you're in my heart. I wanted to give, before I begin my homily, just a few instructions on how to receive Holy Communion. We are trying to maintain that proper distance as much as possible for the health of everyone. First, when you approach for Holy Communion, look at the floor in the aisles, and you will see a blue box. If you'll stand in the empty blue box, then that's your job, and we will come to you if necessary. If you stand there, we will then stand in the other box and give you Holy Communion. Secondly, you'll also see other blue marks on the floor, and those are 6 feet apart, marking the limit of how close you should be to the next person. Also, the bishop highly recommends communion in the hand, but if you plan to receive on the tongue, please, if you would wait to the very end and then come to me or the deacon. Finally, thank you for your patience. This is all new for us. No one has done this in at least 100 years. So we are working things out little by little. And I want to especially thank all of the staff here and this army of volunteers that are taking care of making sure everything is in order and clean, helping get the church ready before and after. And finally, before we begin, I wanted to give a very warm welcome to our seminarian for the summer. Normally, he has a lot more people to welcome him, so you're going to have to be extra warm to him. Justin Damask is coming to us, and we're very, very happy for him to be with us this summer. Justin's going to tell you a little about himself. He's studying at the Theological College at Catholic University, and I'll let him tell you the rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Christian of the future will either be a mystic or will not exist at all. These are words from Karl Rahner, a Catholic theologian, many years ago. What he's saying is, in the decades and centuries to come, people will either have a dynamic, an intimate relationship with God, or they will be bereft of faith. I know you're looking for a more positive message on your first Sunday back, aren't you? But hang on, I have one. Just gotta wait. We have to face some facts first that we might have been avoiding, hoping they would just go away. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned about the decline of religious belief and practice in the West. Now, while I disagreed with the presenter who was talking about this on a YouTube video, he said that religion would never come back. But even though I disagree with that, recall that his statistics were correct. Every year, it seems, more people are claiming to have no faith. We no longer have the structures of a society that used to keep people at least on the edge of the flock. People today readily reject the faith of their parents, even if their parents did the best they could to teach it. Many think, and this is true, that they are more evolved than their parents, that we've come to a higher level of intelligence of some sort, even though their parents have faith that they might see as quaint, archaic, or even deluded. And there are no longer any social consequences for living with no faith. There used to be a time where if you didn't believe in God, you probably wouldn't get a lot of jobs. But that's gone, and that's probably good that that's gone. It created, at best, faith on the surface. That's why I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the witness of our faith has to be true. You and I must produce good fruit that people can see. Our daily lived faith has to reflect all that is true and good and beautiful, because those are the attributes of God. what is all true and good and beautiful. That's what will attract people. It is not enough for us today to simply proclaim truths. Those wonderful doctrines of our faith, no matter how wonderfully true they are, people don't trust institutions, and so they need a different route to find real truth. Faith in our day needs the nurture that comes from encounters with the divine and experiences of the holy. So, let us get our own house in order as a group of disciples before we even try to pass on the faith to others around us. You cannot give what you do not have. But why did I say we needed to become a mystic? You can object, I'm not a mystic, Father, in case you didn't notice. I'm not even sure what a mystic is. Being a mystic is too far above me. I disagree. I'm not talking about becoming spiritual genius along the lines of St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila or St. Catherine of Siena. But us ordinary folks can enter into their world, not just reading their works, but entering into their world. We can learn from their experience. Now, you or I might not be able to play golf like whoever would have won the Masters Golf Tournament this year. We might not be able to run a marathon, but with practice and determination, we can get stronger, refine our bodies and minds, build the right muscles in order to get better, even if only a little better. The Catechism of the Church points out, God calls us all to intimate union with Him, which means that everyone is called to be a mystic, just as we are also called to be saints, called to be holy. So then what is a mystic? It has a deeper definition, but in some of the simplest of terms, it is someone who stops what he or she is doing and frequently stops in order to become quiet, to focus, and then to ponder the mysteries that go beyond the normal questions of our world which loves to just stay on the surface. The master of this pondering was the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Luke tells us twice that Mary kept and pondered in her heart the mysteries of God. She had firsthand experience, and the Greek word ponder is being used means to turn over and over and over again. You can imagine taking the thought of the mystery and just churning it over in your heart. This is the same God who became one of us through Mary's profound, unconditional yes. Yes to His will in her life. Our yes perpetuates her yes. When we stop to truly ponder like Mary did, we gain a special spiritual insight. Jesus just said to us in this gospel that He will send us the Holy Spirit. He calls the Spirit of Truth. He says the world cannot accept Him, this Spirit of Truth. And that is so true. People just seem to reject anything that says it's true right off the bat, even though things are true. It's hard to undo the laws of physics just because you don't believe in them. The Spirit of Truth, you know Him, He says, because He remains with you and will be in you. Listen to those words again. He remains with you and will be in you. Not just with you, but in you. Now think about this. A friendship or marriage is not sustainable if all we do is depend on those first days of the relationship, when everything seemed to be going really well and you had the puppy love and we're most interested and most in love. If we never later pause what we are doing and ponder this other person, think about this other person and put them first, the relationship will shrivel up and die. Now, for some of you out there who are married and you had to stay home for a while after being cooped up in the house with your spouse for a few weeks, how many of you were surprised at the things you found out about each other? Is this the same person I married? The answer is yes. and no. People change over time, including you. And while God does not change and he never ever loses love for you, you change and grow. And if you stop talking to God in a real intimate way, you will grow distant, just as you would with anyone, including your beloved. But if you keep talking in that intimate relationship with God, it will continue to grow. Of course, what I'm talking about is prayer, what Mother Teresa calls air for the lungs of the Christian, that wonderful dialogue with God. In the next weeks, we'll be talking more about prayer, because in our world today, if we hope to develop and maintain a real intimate relationship with God, we have to become true people of prayer. We all have to become, in a sense, experts at prayer. Through prayer, we come to recognize that presence that Jesus is talking about within us, the Holy Spirit who remains with you and will be in you. What you come to discover is that prayer is not something that you do. Prayer is something that God does, that you are open to. He does it through you. The Mass is the best example of this. Our Lord, it is Jesus' prayer. You and I participate because we're open, and that prayer comes through us. And so the more you try to be open to God, surrendering your will to his will and receiving him, his life flows into you in prayer. This is the life of the one who made everything out of nothing, of the one who entered into our world, who entered into our very flesh in order to lift us up beyond this world to the next. Because the Christian of the future will be a mystic or will not exist at all, let us take the first steps to become that mystic that we are called to become, and to allow the life of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit, to flow into us in prayer. Stop what you are doing and listen to him speak. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.